Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Jody Cameron, John Ritchie. Our NFL picks coming up at 1 o'clock today. And, of course, a lot of discussion as we look ahead to the Eagles and the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. Russell Wilson, great player. He's chipping away ever closer at the Hall of Fame. Already won one title, already been to two Super Bowls, and he's gotten even better since then. As their defense has gotten worse, he's gotten better. He's got them in position, obviously, to be a playoff team again this year. To me, four reasons why the Eagles beat Seattle this week. One, defense. I mean, I really think the defense has improved a lot. And I know John poo-poos it and says they haven't played anybody. Well, they played Tom Brady last week. And it wasn't the defense's fault they lost the game. They only gave up 17 points. Home field advantage, another factor. Maybe people aren't in the mood to hear it because, obviously, they lost last week at home. So you might say, Joe, just put that one aside for a week. And I understand that inclination, but still, in Doug's tenure, 23-8 at home, which is pretty good. Reason number three, just general belief in Doug. I told you from earlier parts of the season when things were shaky, belief in Doug. Going to stand by Doug until I see otherwise for a longer period of time. And four, I think this team's got a
when
heart.
When is that period of time up?
End of the season for the most part. I mean, listen, it could be sooner if they lose to Seattle and then turn around and lose to like two of these jokers. What's the sequence? Miami and then the Giants?
Yes.
Like, yeah, if they lost three times, then I'd be like, all right, well, yeah, I'm obviously out. What I believe would be is not. But I don't think they're going to lose the next three. And then, you know, I just think there's a heart in there. I think there's a heart that beats, and these guys will pull it together. 888-729-9494. All right, let's go to the phones. What do you see up ahead for Sunday? Joe DeCamer, John Ritchie. All right, let's go to Amish, who's with us. What's up, Amish?
Hey, guys, let me take you off speakerphone real quick. Sorry.
You got it, buddy. No problem. What do you got, pal?
I just wanted to talk a little Eagles, and I have a question for you guys about your thoughts on the Sixers.
Yes.
But I like the Eagles to win Sunday. I think we're in a much desperate situation. I don't like Seattle coming off the bye just because it gave them a break, essentially. I understand. But I think it kind of kills a little bit of their momentum. And I like the Eagles when they're playing with their back against the wall, you know. And I hope Doug can really stick to pounding the ball, maybe keeping Russell off the field. That to me, feels like a better avenue for us to pull a W out of the game, you know.
That was the best avenue last week, and we didn't do it. And if we don't have Jordan Howard, that really hurts our chances for doing it. Are they going to have enough faith in Jay Ajayi to put the ball in his hands 15 times?
I'm not sure. You know what really puzzles me?
That's a big wild card in this one.
No, I agree, John. And what kind of really bothers me about the team over the last couple of years after the Super Bowl is when we know what we need to do to try to win a game or take control of a game to get a win, we never stick to it. Like, he starts one way and then deviates. And I get it that you have to make adjustments in the games, but when you have control of a game, you gotta put your foot down on their neck and keep it down. I just can't see why he doesn't do it. You know, for me, as an Eagles fan, Doug will always be one of the best coaches ever because he helped us get that first Super Bowl, you know, and that to me means any more to me as an Eagles fan to the city of Philadelphia than anything. But, God, you know, if you know the formula, why can't you just, you know, execute it?
Yeah, it is aggravating
because you're not as good as 2017. Like, That's the truth. I really believe that, Amish. Like, we all are grateful forever to what that staff did. But that staff, now that it's been disbanded to some degree, it's nowhere close to the same level of creative and consistent. And Doug is, while he's still aggressive, it's just not the full, like, complement of plays to go along with the aggressiveness.
All right, Amish, what was your 76ers question?
I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it. Let me give you what's ridiculous, and I'll give you my thoughts, and you guys can comment. But
yep.
Something that's absolutely ridiculous that blows my mind is we as a society or as a world finally have a picture of what the black hole is. It happened in April this past year. I don't know if many of you followed that, but I think it's just unbelievable.
Well, it is unbelievable.
And my thought about the Sixers is, you know, Korkmaz is in a little bit of a slump, and I'm sure that could maybe go away with some time, but there's all these great shooters still sitting on the market. And, you know, J.R. Smith, Jamal Crawford. And do you think that the Sixers should make a move sooner than later for bringing in some shooting? Because we're going to need that. When you look at the teams in the East right now, the way they're shooting the ball, it scares me, you know, going forward.
Well, good point and good question. So it's obviously an issue. We know the Sixers are offensively challenged from outside. I got to say, the more and more, man, like when I see Paul George play, it's so aggravating. Tobias Harris is here and Paul George is there. Nothing you can do about it. You offer the guy a contract, he doesn't want to be here, doesn't choose here. So nothing, you know. But I'm just saying, like, how many years do we dream the dream of, like, LeBron, Paul George, Kevin Durant, all this cap money and thinking, oh, try to get one of them to say, I want to go play in the East with Embiid and Simmons. And then when all said and done, and you get Tobias Harris. It's like, oh, boy. All right. So, look, the shooting thing's a thing. I mean, we know it's a problem. Am I in a rush to sign some of those guys that are 15-year veterans? Not really. There's a reason those guys are sitting out and available because, you know, they're pretty washed up. I think what will be important, really important for the Sixers, is to try to navigate the buyout market, you know, like they did, if you remember, a couple years ago when they got Ilyasova and Bellinelli, I think were both buyouts.
Correct.
Was
yes.
one of them a trade or were they
both
buyouts?
Buyouts.
So that's what you got to try to do. I mean, if you remember, Ilyasova and Bellinelli, I'm going back 2 years ago, but they were big rotation players for the Sixers. I mean, they were two guys in the top seven of the Sixers rotation. And they added both of them, you know, probably in February or March. So I think you got to hope for that. If you feel like you're not going to have a good likelihood of one of them, then obviously you consider it more. By the way, Iguodala is another guy. I mean, he's just kind of floating out there. Like, he's not a shooter, but he's someone that could be like your backup point guard, essentially. I mean, he can handle the ball. He's not a classic point guard, but he can bring the ball up and facilitate an offense. I'd consider him, but I'm not in a rush for any of that right now. Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. Wager on all-pro sports in a comfortable atmosphere with great food online at DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. Must be 21 to play. Today's question, who wins on Sunday? A, the Eagles, B, the Seahawks. Get voting at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Our NFL picks coming up in about 5 minutes. Let's talk to Greg in media. Hey, Greg.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hi, Greg. Great.
Good. So I had an Eagles stat I saw the announcers talking about when I was watching the game, and it didn't really anger me, but it was a little interesting.
Yeah, you never know.
So since 2014, apparently we got rid of every leading rusher we've had.
I did see that. So, that was interesting, yeah.
Shady, DeMarco, Ryan Matthews, LeGarrette Blount, Josh Adams, and then they were talking about this year with Jordan Howard. Oh, they're going to get rid of him this time? It's like, I don't know. What were you guys' thoughts on that? I think it's
50-50 whether Jordan Howard's back. With no inside knowledge, I just say that knowing that the NFL, there's not great recent years, there's not great history of paying running backs and getting good value back. That's one thing. I think Howie has generally been looking to put money elsewhere, primarily in the offensive and defensive line. So I think his mindset would be that. If Jordan Howard wants to sign for a not huge price, I'm sure Howie would love to have him back. But if Jordan Howard wants the most money he can get on the open market, then my guess is that Howie would say bye-bye and go back and try to fish for another running back again, even if it's stopgap next year. Because even though that might sound unappealing, to Howie's credit, he's done a spectacular job fishing and having stopgap measures, short-term measures, like Jordan Howard. So it's not inconceivable he just does it again this next offseason.
Jordan Howard needs to be careful with this stinger. That part of the greatness of Jordan Howard in my mind was his availability every single game for years. You know, this is now a real throws a wrench in what I thought Jordan Howard was, which was that steady, dependable. You give him the ball, he'll get you 4 yards every time, every game, because he's tough and pushes through the dings. right now changes a lot. If he's not going to be able to take the field for you.
But it's only two. It's only maybe 2 weeks here, John. I mean, I'm not. I don't think it's fair to label the guy an injury-prone guy.
He's not. He's not at all. He wasn't. That's the point. Now, if he can't play, I don't know how long this is going to linger. With this medical staff, if this lingers longer than this game or next game, then you got to really start thinking about that as it pertains to whether you re-sign him.
All right, Greg, what do you got here? Something ridiculous.
Something ridiculous. How about Clubber Lang not being indicted for that involuntary manslaughter?
There you go. Clubber. The only thing about it is you don't know that Clubber wasn't indicted for killing Mickey because you never heard from Clubber again, ever. Didn't show up in four, didn't show up in five, didn't show up in, what do they call it, Rocky Balboa, Creed 1, Creed 2. He's just gone. So for all we know, maybe the reason he's gone is maybe he was tried and convicted for manslaughter for killing Mick. Which he obviously did. You go back and check out the scene.
This is obscene.
Check it's out so the silly. Scene. He pushes. You got a 75-year-old man who collapses as a result and dies.
It's not how it works.
Mickey was killed by Clubber Lang. It's not first-degree murder, but he was, in fact, killed. By the way, on social media, people are running wild here about
people
this foot.
People are going nuts about the foot.
And the biggest of all, and there's a lot of different types.
The biggest thing is it looks like a paw more than a foot.
Yeah, people say it looks like a hand.
Yeah, I could see it.
They say my foot looks like a hand.
I've seen some Gollum references.
The hairy hand.
Seen some Gollum references. Someone had a good tweet where they said Rex Ryan on line one, which I thought was pretty clever.
Oh, good Lord. Let's talk to Steve in Roxborough. What's up, Steve?
Hold on 1 second.
You got it, Steve. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Wonderful.
So I love the show. I love you guys. I think you're awesome.
Thank
John,
you.
I love your ability to just infuriate John at the beginning of every show. It's hilarious.
It happens quick sometimes.
So one quick thing and then the ridiculous thing. I don't think anybody's talking about this, or at least I haven't heard. And I've been listening to the show for the past couple of weeks and all the Carson criticism and all that and such. How do you come back from this next year? You got to blow the whole thing up? Like how if he's not respecting him and he's not the leader, how do you come back from that?
Well, that's a big assumption. We don't know that's where it's at. I mean,
it would appear that way.
I don't know about that. Look, you play it out. You see how it ends. I mean, Carson's back, if you're asking that.
No, I know Carson's back, but what about all these other people?
Well,
Alshon.
I mean, the
Alshon's paid $20 million next year. 23? Number.
I don't know what you do with
that.
It's crazy.
It's
the cap hit's the killer. The big issue is Alshon and Deshaun and the cap hit and how you navigate that. And at this stage, Steve, I don't know the answer to that right now. I really don't. I know that it's a real problem. And it's a problem unlike really anything I can remember the Eagles having in years, or maybe ever. I don't remember a player. This is just off the top of my head. I don't remember an Eagles. I remember Sixers players, and I remember Phillies players that you knew stunk in a world where contracts are guaranteed, Sixers and Phillies. It's happened. It happened with David Bell for a couple million. It even happened, and I mean this is no offense to him because he's one of the great Phillies of all time. It obviously happened to Ryan Howard in like the final 2 or 3 years of his deal where he just couldn't give you anything anymore. He's making $25 million a year. I don't remember the Eagles ever being in a position with like they are with Alshon. If he's done and yet he's got a cap hit of over $20 million, I don't ever remember that happening before. So do you cut him to try to have the best season you can with lesser players, or do you keep him and just say, I hope he turns it around? I don't know the answer right now. I really don't.
Yeah.
It's a problem, though. I'll tell you that. Steve, give me something ridiculous.
I don't know. There was a documentary on Netflix that came out and a couple of people have gone, you know, kind of space and that kind of direction. The flat earth people.
Kyrie Irving. Yeah. Flat earth people. All right. We got you. Yeah. The people in 2019 saying flat earth, whereas Kyrie did about 2 years ago in 2017. James, can you ever remember in the salary cap age, which has been going on about 25 years now, an Eagles player like Alshon who might be done but has a guaranteed contract the next year? of that amount of money.
No, I mean, Namdi was done pretty early into that contract, it felt like, but
it's a good answer.
Yeah, I mean, nothing else jumps out to me.
There's not a ton. Namdi's an interesting answer, though, because it probably was hard to get rid of him year two. And from what I remember, they kept him year two, but I think did not keep him year three. DeMarco Murray would be one. But it wasn't that much dead cap. Like, his whole deal was only like $40 million. It was like 5 years and 43 or something.
Something like that.
But, you know, they'd gotten through year one. Then, of course, Howie had the miracle trade to actually move him for, a fourth-round pick. And then they had the other trade where they moved up in the first round to get rid of. Who was the bum they got rid of? Was the guy? Kiko? Was it Kiko?
Yeah.
To move up in the draft?
Kiko.
That was crazy. Did I just call Kiko a bum? That might have been a little rude. That's all right.
He's not that bad.
John's a bum when it comes to making NFL picks, except last week he was pretty good. Let's get to our NFL picks for week number 12 of the National Football League. John Ritchie last week went 3-0 in his picks. I went 1-2 in my NFL selection. Of course, I won the bonus question. John did not. So for the season, a close battle for the NFL picks, I am a mere half a game better than John.
Ooh.
Half a game. Bonus question, I'm obviously way better than John. 7 games better than him. So I'm 7.5 up overall. John, your first pick this week.
That bonus question was crap last week, by the way.
You got to foresee it.
Mm-hmm. You sure? Yeah, you didn't. my first one is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers are giving 6.5 to the Cincinnati Bengals. I like the Steelers anyway. With everything that's been going on, people could view that as a distraction, you know, with the Mason Rudolph helmet hitting stuff.
Yep.
But the Bengals last week were actually, you know, serviceable in the capacity. You know, they lost by a touchdown to the Raiders. They looked like they haven't totally given up. But that organization has given up, and they're just sort of biding their time until the season ends. The Steelers kind of have something to prove. They lost to the Browns by 2 touchdowns last week. They're going to go out there on a mission. Mike Tomlin will have them motivated. I think they completely trounce the Bengals by more than 6.5.
All right, my first selection, I go to Tennessee. Why Tennessee? I mean, Tennessee's a fun place to be. It's where we were last year. Took the show on the road last year to Tennessee, but Tennessee, come on. Losing franchise. Posing quarterback Nick Foles for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right there.
3.5 point. Three and a half. You got Nick Foles as a 3.5 point underdog?
You saw they lost by 20 points
last week, but that was against the Colts. That was champion versus champion.
The Colts lost last night.
I understand that, but that was Foles versus Frank Reich last week. That's different. This is Foles versus the Titans? Come on, Nicky Foles is going to let it all hang out this weekend. Nick Foles on the road, plus a 3.5 in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
What?
Multiple-time champion Mike Vrabel.
That doesn't matter.
Mike Vrabel can't let it all hang out the way Nick Foles can.
Right.
I'm
not even going to dignify that. Oakland.
I'm just saying, he's going to sling that ball, sling the ball around.
We get it.
Oakland Raiders giving 3 points on the road to the Jets. I'm just wondering how this is even a line. The Oakland Raiders are pretty good. Am I missing something?
I thought about it, John.
Thank you, Gru. The Jets, yeah, they won last week. They beat the Redskins 34-17. But this? I mean, like, home field advantage for the Jets? What is it that means? Why are the Raiders only favored by 3? They're going to win by more than 3 points. So, Oakland over the Jets.
Strongly considered it, and it would have been my 4th selection if we had 4, but no, 3 picks. So, my second one, I go to Monday Night Football. The Rams, they've been a disappointment this year if you're a Rams fan, which, of course, none of us are. Look, they're done. The Rams are done. Obviously, they got the wrong quarterback. They gave up 2 first-round draft picks for a cornerback. And their star running back is no longer playing like an NFL Hall of Famer. So the Rams are done. But they're a home dog this week on Monday Night Football with a glimmer of playoff possibilities. So I'm taking the L.A. Rams. Monday Night Football will show the Rams coach 77 times in this broadcast because America thinks he's a good-looking man. So 77 times over under for how many times they show McVay. L.A. Rams at home plus the 3 against the Baltimore Ravens on Monday night.
Wow. Did not expect that.
Yep. Well, that's how you have better picks if you're me than you. You do the unexpected, and you get right more often than not.
Dallas plays New England. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, boy.
I don't understand this line really either.
Say it ain't so, John.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Dallas
Cowboys. Say it ain't so.
The Cowboys are getting 6.5 points. Now, listen, I don't expect... I'm not saying the Dallas Cowboys are going to flat out win. I think they could flat out win this game. The Patriots are not what their record reflects. We saw it last week.
You disappoint me, John.
Dallas Cowboys +6.5. I think that's an easy one.
Well, I'll just say this. Not since the little boy was hanging around outside the, I don't know if it was a courthouse or what it was, when Shoeless Joe gave the testimony. Shoeless Joe walked down the steps, and the little boy said, "Say it ain't so, Joe." Not since 1920, because it was the 1919 Black Sox, has someone disappointed me as much as John Ritchie just did right then. Third selection.
That's ridiculous. We're talking about the Patriots and the Cowboys. Yeah. Who cares? I hate both.
Well,
they both suck.
I actually thought about making your pick, but my heart couldn't take me there because I got to root for New England too hard, so I can't go there. Third selection, Philly. All right, 1.5 point spread at home. Come on, guys. I'm not like John picking Dallas. What is that? All right, they got the defense. Eagles got the defense.
You act like you haven't picked Dallas before.
They got the home, and I'm right when I do, by the way.
You picked Dallas.
And I'm right.
2 weeks ago.
And they got the home field advantage.
And last week, by the way.
The Eagles got Doug Peterson, and they got a heart.
I think that's what gave us this.
I like the Cowboys.
Yeah. That, right?
Exactly.
That was like 2 months ago. The Philadelphia Eagles at home, -1.5 to beat Seattle. And just to quell everybody's fears, everybody chill pill time. Then it's feet up on the coffee table for the final five, for the final five.
I forgot. Your analysis
Everyone's
on that was...
Breathe.
They're gonna win one of the next two, and they didn't win last week, so now this week they're going
to
win?
I try to tell you how it's really simple, John. John gets mixed up in scheme and this and that.
Too much thinking.
Too much thinking. Overthinking. All right. Let's get to the bonus picks.
All right. Ohio State. We're going to college football.
Nice.
Maybe Richie could take this one this week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State is an 18.5-point favorite against Penn State. Feel free to pick Penn State, but either way, let me know what team you're picking and how much they win by.
Are you talking about point spread or who wins the game?
I'm assuming you're both picking Ohio State. Can we just acknowledge that, or are either of you picking Penn State?
I'll acknowledge that. I mean, okay. I don't know. I would totally give it, but if I had
to choose. How many points will Ohio State win the game by?
Okay, so we're...
Okay.
The line is 18.5.
Okay. I have my number.
And Richie's.
It's a low number, but I'm trying to be lower than John's. I think John will also be kind of low. I'm trying to be lower than John, but just barely. He might outflank me, though. My number is 7.
Oh, he way outflanked you. John said 20.
Yeah, he's wrong. Yeah, no, he's wrong.
He's way closer to the point spread than you are.
No, no. I mean, I wish I'd said 19, obviously, but
exactly.
No. Penn State will keep
Joe
it closer
Axley,
than that.
Why is it every week? You seem to think like you can predict what I'm going to pick,
and
you're always way off.
John, I know college football. I'm a college football expert.
Sure.
And with that, we shut that music down. Yeah. Plus, the prep quarterback's headed to Ohio State next year. I'm still going to root for Penn State, but, you know, shout out to St. Joe's prep football
program. Do you think he's going to have a big impact on the game?
Not this year. No, not this year.
How does that have anything to do with
Nor next year.
And John Runyon's son from the prep has played at Michigan. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here, a lot of good stuff. Let's talk to Tom in Abington. Tom, you're on WIP.
Hey, old fellas. How we doing today?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Joe. It's a good thing you're not from Iceland, huh?
Why's that?
Well, come Christmas time, you'd have to throw your size 7s out on the window, so that'd be
That's
some tiny-ass gifts.
Tiny presents.
People are saying on Twitter that my foot looks a little bit bigger than size 7.
I don't know. You got some tiny, hairy hand feet. Huh?
It does look like a hand. I don't know what's up with that. Something about the way I arched my foot, and somehow it looks like a hand.
All right, so let me give you a fill-in-the-blank. This is for Joe. A fill-in-the-blank slash multiple-choice question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In order for the Eagles to beat the Seahawks on Sunday, Carson Wentz will have to play at a blank level, the choices being good, very good, elite.
Good would get the job done.
What's that?
Good would get the job done.
Good?
Good?
Yeah, you said good. Wasn't good one of your choices?
That was the first choice. Yeah,
yeah,
so
I said good.
You think Carson just has to play good?
Yeah, I think good will get the job done because the Eagles defense will be there and good is pretty good. And so, yes, I think if Carson Wentz plays good, the Eagles will win the game.
Okay.
You know they're 8-2, right?
I do know they're 8-2. Yeah.
You know, you laid your reasons out for them winning, you know, being at home, right, was one of the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
What were the other reasons?
Well, they've got a good defense that's been number one in the NFL since week 8.
Okay.
I believe in Doug Peterson to get these guys going, and I think there's a heart in there that's going to rally and be ready to fight.
I don't know. They were at home last week. I thought the defense had one of their best games of the year.
They did.
Doug was the coach, and they still lost.
I understand.
I think the Seahawks are a better team than the Patriots.
I don't.
And then you don't.
I do not think that the Seattle Seahawks are a better team than the Patriots.
They have a better offense.
Not
a better defense.
I do not think Seattle is a better team.
I think that'd be an interesting game.
It would be.
You got Alshon Arietta missing another game, right?
Listen, the injury issues are an issue. There's no doubt. Jordan Howard
sounds like.
All right, Tom, give me something ridiculous.
And our offensive line.
Yeah. I just don't say, all right, something ridiculous. The most ridiculous thing that I've seen in the sports world would be Colangelo, Babs, and Burnergate.
Wow, that's a pretty good answer.
Good answer.
It was ridiculous. There's no doubt.
How is that the first that's been brought up?
We're
just a laughing stock.
It was bad. It was really bad, no doubt. All right, speaking of bad, coming up, a tweet I got yesterday that I thought was bad. A guy's trying to get at me regarding Carson Wentz. And it was interesting. I'll address it coming up next. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
Parks Casino and Sportsbook, the home team and my sportsbook of choice. The Birds remain home after that loss to New England and are at 500 after 10 games with a record of 5-5. Sunday, they play Seattle, who are 8-2 and are coming off their bye week. The line of the game is Birds -1.5 with an even money line. Each team is -110 as the money line has held firm all week. Penn State, they're 9-1 after a tough win. They play at noon Saturday against number 2 Ohio State. Ohio State is an 18.5-point favorite. That's a big number, considering Penn State's a one-loss team, and they've played Ohio State very close in recent years. It's very rare to see such a large line for two top 10-ranked teams. Philly Hoops have a 3-game homestand starting tonight when they take on San Antonio. They will wrap up the 3-game homestand with a back-to-back and face Miami Saturday. Our Flyboys are in action back home Saturday afternoon. Visit parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code BIRDS. So much interesting stuff to look at game-wise, bet-wise. You get up to a $500 risk-free bet with that promo code BIRDS. See the website for terms and condition. Parks Casino and Sportsbook, bet with the best. You must be 21 and in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.